Well, good morning, Celebration Church. Welcome to all of our campuses. If we could all stand up wherever you're at, let's all say this together. This is who we are. This is what we believe here at Celebration Church. Let's all say this together. We believe in God, the Father Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. We believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who for us and for our salvation was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead, and on the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the fellowship of believers, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Well, good morning and welcome to everybody, especially our campuses in Stevens Point, Appleton, those that are joining us online. Good to have everybody here in Green Bay as well. Welcome. If we haven't had the chance to meet, my name is Bob. I'm one of the pastors here at Celebration Church, and Pastor Mark is our lead pastor. He does most of the preaching and teaching. He's got a marriage ministry called Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. He travels all around the world. Today, actually, he's in the Czech Republic, so he's on the other side of the world doing some events over there, and I have the opportunity to share with you this morning. I thought I'd introduce you to my family. Got a picture here. Got a beautiful family. Love them. I've got four little kids. My oldest is Dylan, and he's 11 years old. My daughter, one and only, Adderley, she is 9. Charlie, he is 6 years old, and my youngest is Jude, and he is 4. And my beautiful wife, Dana, I love her a ton, and today is her birthday, so happy birthday to my baby. So that's the Gustafson gang. Good to be with everyone. My kids had a great week last week. It was fine arts here at Celebration Church. If you're not aware of what that is, that's like our version of summer camp right here at the church. And it's an awesome week. We had kids and volunteers from all of our campuses participate with it. It's also a big outreach to the community. A record-setting year of 530 kids. A lot of kids learning about Jesus. Every day my kids would come home talking about God, and it was such a neat week, great week. And it took a lot of volunteers to pull it off. We've got an awesome team of people here at the church. 150 plus volunteers came together to make that week possible. So thank you, volunteers. We've got a little video we want to show you highlighting the week that we celebrated here at Celebration Church. Let's take a look.
I believe it, yeah. You spoke my name and my heart came to life. I believe it, yeah. I wanna sing about it, I wanna scream and shout it.
cloud. This is our moment. Woo!
It says this, right? Let your light shine so others can see it, that they see the good things you do, not so you look awesome, but that they will bring glory to God the Father. We want to be bringing our light and showing other people the goodness of God.
Awesome. Huge thanks to those from Appleton and Stevens Point that made the trek all the way over here. Thanks for participating. It was a great week. This morning, I've got a message I'd like to share, and it's called Sphere of Influence. When I was in college, I remember hearing a message by this guy named Keith Wheeler. He was speaking that morning at our church, and he was a missionary, and he traveled all around the world, and he carried the cross. He had this huge cross, and he had this way of breaking it down, and he had a wheel he'd put on it, and he'd travel all over, and he'd put it on and walk around, and people would come up to him and be curious what he's doing, and he'd just talk to him about Jesus. And I thought, man, wouldn't it be awesome to travel around with Keith Wheeler all around the world and carry the cross and tell people about Jesus? And wouldn't it be amazing to do that, to give your life in that kind of a way? And his message that morning was about sphere of influence. And the idea that he communicated is that you don't have to travel around the world to share the love of Jesus. That your sphere of influence is wherever you're standing, is how he communicated it. He walks around carrying a cross, but we all walk around every day. We walk to work and we walk home and we're right here right now. After church, you might go eat. And we all have a sphere of influence. And wherever you are, you've got the opportunity to influence other people. So what are we supposed to influence them towards? In the book of Ecclesiastes, I'm going to share a verse here in just a moment. The book is written by this guy named Solomon. And he writes what's called the wisdom literature. It's right in the middle of your Bible. And it's categorized by genre of literature. Like if you go to a library, you've got the wisdom literature right in the middle. And he writes the book of Proverbs. And a lot of people are familiar with that, ideas of how to live wisely in your life. And he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. And at the end of it, it's kind of this big experiment he's going under in life. And he's saying, hey, I ran after all these things. I ran after money. And Solomon had a lot of it. He was loaded. And I ran after women. And I ran after wisdom. And I ran after knowledge. I pursued everything there was to pursue under the sun. And none of it satisfied. And he's at the end of the book, he says, here's the conclusion of the matter. You want a good life? Fear God and keep his commandments, is how he sums it up. And in chapter 3, verse 11, he writes this. It says, he, that being God, has also set eternity in the human heart. Every person comes into this world with eternity placed on their hearts. You come into this world longing to connect with the eternal. In the book of James, in the New Testament, our short life here on this earth, because it's short and eternity's a long time, he communicates this about it. He says, life is like a mist, that it's just here for a little while today, and tomorrow it's gone. That life is like a mist, so you got to take it seriously. How many of you have ever asked this question? Why am I here? What's my purpose in life? What's my mission? What am I here for? And Jesus has an answer for it. And if you have not found God, your mission in life is to find God, to have your sins forgiven, to connect with eternal things. That's your mission in life, is to experience God. That's your mission. And if you've not encountered God, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5 about why I am here. He says this, let me tell you why you are here. You are here to be the salt seasonings that bring out the God flavors of this earth. Anyone here like to cook? and he cooks in the at our different campuses. We got cooks here. I love to cook. I've got some scars on my hands, but it's not because I'm really good at working with tools. In fact, if you see me holding a nail gun, go the other way. It might be the last day you see a guy holding a nail gun. I've got some scars. It's because I like to cook, and I love cooking. In fact, the other day, we had an opportunity to go to a friend's house. They had a party, and it was a strawberry party, and I didn't really know it, but it was a competition. In fact, there was a first prize that you could win if you had the best dish, and so I put together my meal, and it was called strawberry bruschetta. In fact, today, it's called award-winning strawberry bruschetta because I got first place. And how many of you know, if you're good at cooking, you put the right seasoning in the food, and it tastes pretty good. And so I had baguettes, and I cut them just right, and I seasoned them with olive oil and put them in the oven at the right temperature to get them toasted just right. And then I chopped up strawberries. And I know that when you chop food, you got to chop it the right way, because if you chop it the right way, it tastes better. So I chopped up the strawberries just right, and then I seasoned it simply with kosher salt and black pepper, and then like a balsamic thing over the top, and then fresh basil to finish it off with. And it was awesome. It won some awards. Goat cheese, I forgot to mention that. So if you want the recipe, contact me after the service. Award-winning strawberry bruschetta. If you season things the right way, it brings out the right flavors. And that's what Jesus says here, that you're supposed to be the salt seasonings that bring out the God flavors in the earth. So he says, if you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? The reason why we do this, so people could experience God. We don't just do these good things for the sake of doing good things. We do it in Jesus' name, that they would encounter him. So you got to stay salty. He says if you lose your usefulness, you end up in the garbage. No one likes nasty food. So you got to stay salty. Jesus says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep your house open. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to be open with God, the generous Father in heaven. When we live life like this, we draw people unto God. It says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God prepared these things in advance for you to do, and we're participating with his work. It's wherever you live, wherever you work, the family you have, the time in history you were born. The fact that you're right in Stevens Point, Appleton, Green Bay, watching online, wherever you're at, God's got you right where he wants you, and he wants to use you where you're at. You are not a mistake. God wants to use you. God's plan A for the world is the church, and it's you, and it's me. We are the hands and feet of Jesus to those that are lost. I've heard this said before, the church is the hope of the world. Doesn't that sound great? The church is the hope of the world. I think there's a better way to say it, because I think there's something missing in that saying. And it's this: mission. The church on mission is the hope of the world. Not just coming together. Church isn't just coming together on a Sunday, although you should go to church on Sundays. Worshiping God isn't just singing songs, although God loves it when you sing. The church is supposed to be the hands and feet of Jesus out in the world. And worshiping God looks like loving what God loves. And God loves people. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, Jesus. God loves the world, and God loves those that are lost. And he wants us to share in his heart. The job of the church is to come alongside our communities. Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin, Appleton in the Fox Valley, Stevens Point in Central Wisconsin, to come along our cities, our communities, the state, the world, wherever your feet are, and to say, how can we help you? How can we serve you? How can we love you? Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 16 says this, says, and do not forget to do good and to share with others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. If you want to please God, he says, do good and share with others. that you please God. The reason why it pleases God is because when you do, people are drawn unto him, and God loves those who are lost. He wants you to participate in his plan. God loves lost people, and I want to share three parables. It's actually kind of one long thought from Jesus found in the Gospel of Luke that really communicates the heart of God for those that are lost. It's here in the Gospel of Luke, verse 1, it says this. Check out how it starts. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners," these are the most despised people of the day, the lost. He says they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Jesus was hanging out with those that were lost. He's not even just talking to them. He's eating a meal with them. He's connecting with them even around the idea of food. Maybe they had award-winning strawberry bruschetta that day. Jesus was hanging out with those that are lost, and his heart for them. So he goes on and talks to the Pharisees about what's going on here. So Jesus, it says in verse 3, told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep.' He says, 'I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent.'" God will leave lost things or found things to go after the lost. He goes after them. The 99 that are found, he left them to go find the one that was lost. He goes on and talks about the parable of the lost coin. He says, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Jesus continues on. Parable of the lost son. He says, "There was a man, he had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So the father divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. He spent everything. There was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to be a citizen of that country, and who sent him into the fields to feed the pigs. And he longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything." So he's in a bad place. He's lost, man. "And when he comes to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him.'" He puts together his speech. He says, "'Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Just make me like one of your hired servants.' So he puts together his speech and he sets out and goes to the father. But while he was still a long way off," who's looking for the lost things? The father is looking for those that are lost. "His father saw him and he's filled with compassion. And he ran to his son and he throws his arms around him and gives him a big hug, gives him a kiss. And the son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you.' He goes into his speech, 'I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' And the father cuts him off and he says to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's throw a party. Let's have a feast. Let's eat some food and celebrate. This son of mine who was dead is alive again. He was lost and now he's found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older brother was out in the field. And when he came near the house, he hears a party going on. There's loud music and people and dancing and food. So he called one of the servants over and said, 'Hey, what's going on inside of there?' And the servant said to him, 'Your brother, he's come home. And your father, he's killed the fattened calf. And he's partying and he's back and safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So the father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you. I've never disobeyed your orders, yet you never threw a party for me with my friends. But when this son of yours who squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? The father says, my son, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is now found. God loves lost people and he wants us to share his heart for those that are lost. How many of you ever lost something really important? Yeah, you'll ever lose something? My son Dylan, when he was 2 years old, all my kids have had what we call in the Gustafson house and my wife's sisters, all them, we call them duppies. And these are very important things to two-year-olds because it's their blankie, right? Ever have little kids, how important their blankie is, especially when they have to go to bed? Pretty important stuff. So one time I'm taking Dylan out for a walk and he's in the stroller. We're walking around the block and we come back home and it's time for Dylan to take a nap. But what is missing? Duppy is missing. Life is not good. And it is really distracting when you're missing something and you can't find it. In fact, it's all you can focus on is that thing that is lost because Duppy was missing. So Dylan's freaking out. He's crying. This is bad. Dana's like, where's Duppy? You took him for a walk. Now he's gone. We're totally distracted by the lost thing, right? You ever experience that? Two-year-olds, big problem. So I go retrace my steps, I take a walk, I go walking around, and there he is, Duppy. He's laying on the ground right in the middle of the sidewalk. He's got his arms crossed, head over his things, and his Duppy was a frog, by the way. So Duppy's sitting there just chilling out, relaxing, and we found Duppy, and we had a party, and we celebrated, and Dylan took a nap, and life was good because we found the lost thing. God's distracted just like that. And he wants us to be distracted with those that are lost. Another time we lost Duppy. I swear this frog's got 9 lives, right? So it was winter and it's snowing outside. And I go out and I go snowblow. So I'm out there and Dylan, he thinks it's pretty cool because snow's flying out of the snowblower and I'm walking around with it. And so he wants to come out and see what's going on. So he comes outside and he's got his Duppy in his arm. And he got cold eventually, decided to go back inside. So he goes in. I finished snow blowing, doing man work outside. So I'm out doing that. And Dylan's freaking out because he can't find Duppy again. And it's time for him to take a nap. And he's crying and he's freaking out. And so I go outside while he was outside. Maybe he left it out when I was snow blowing. So I go look, nowhere to be found. So I'm like, I wonder if he went through the snowblower. So I go look, and there's that big pile of snow, and there's Duppy just chopped to pieces. He went flying through the snowblower, out the other end, flying through the air, major injuries, but we sewed him back up together. He had lacerations in his arm, his leg, but that frog lived to fight another day, and we found that lost thing, and we fixed him up, and that's God. God is looking for the lost things. Even if they're broken, God will stitch them back up, and he wants us to participate in that work. God's distracted by those things that are lost. He wants us to make a difference in the world. I want to close today's message with just some what, where, why, when, and how questions, those kind of questions. So why don't we do this more? And we do it. In fact, this last week, there was 150 volunteers that did this. How awesome is that? There's people right now at every single one of our campuses in a nursery holding a crying baby so that we can have a great experience in all of our sanctuaries here at Celebration Church. And people give all the time, but why don't we do this more? And I think the biggest reason why we don't do it more is because we're flying through life so fast. We're moving through life quick. We've got all the distractions in the world. We got our cell phones in front of us and all those things. In fact, some people drive staring at their cell phones. The other day, I'm driving home, and there's a lady. She's sitting at a green light, not going anywhere. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, you got a green light. You should go. And it was at night, and I looked over, and there was a glow of her face because she's staring at her cell phone. So even though we're moving through life fast, man, we're glued to the phone or whatever it is, and we're not aware of what's going on around us, and we're so distracted. Sometimes we're moving through life quick. You ever fly over a huge city at 30,000 feet moving 500 miles an hour, like Chicago? Looks like a little ant on the ground, doesn't it? When you're moving quick and you don't pick up any of the detail. You don't pay attention to anything going on. You're just cruising over that city and you wave at Chicago and the terrible Chicago Bears. Yeah. And no one wants to see that anyhow. But have you ever driven through Chicago, like especially during rush hour with a bunch of kids and you get stuck in traffic? Oh, that's a bad day, man. My family, when we go on vacation, sometimes we'll go down to Tulsa where my mom and dad live, and we'll drive through Chicago, and we've been stuck in that kind of traffic. And if you've ever heard a kid ask a question, are we there yet? Oh, man. But when you're there, also now you've got the opportunity to pick up all that detail around you. So we start playing games like, I spy something red, and I spy something blue. And we start playing games, and you see all the detail around you because you slow down. And I think in life, we got to be more conscious of slowing down and realizing what's going on around us. To see that struggling neighbor, that coworker, that person that might be in the same row as you at your campus here this morning. And be aware of what is going on around us. Sometimes we're moving through life too quick. The next question is where? Where do we do this in our life? God's plan is to change the world. And his plan is to do it through you changing your world, your sphere of influence, wherever it is that you're standing. If you will change your world, we will change the world. God's got you in a place right now where he wants you, and he's planned things in advance for you to do. This is super practical. This is your home, your work. You're at church this morning. Maybe you're going to leave and go eat lunch after this. You've got an opportunity maybe to leave a huge tip for somebody. Whatever it is, you've got an opportunity to be conscious of what is going on around you. Wherever you are, God wants you to be doing his work, to be doing good things that bring attention to God the Father. Why do we do this? We do this because it blesses God, for God so loves the world that he gave his one and only son, and we need to introduce the world to him. Next question is how? How do we do this? The first way that we do this is to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting in your life. The Holy Spirit will nudge you in your life. You're doing something and it feels wrong. That's the Holy Spirit nudging you that you're in sin. The Holy Spirit will nudge you about areas that you can bless and love on people around you. In fact, you ought to just make it a prayer. God, if you will guide me in my life, I'm going to love on somebody. I will do this if you prompt me and nudge me where to do this in my life. So do it, because this is where you are the most fulfilled in life. Those volunteers that spent the week with the kids, our volunteers that do so much around here, you are so fulfilled when you give. When you do these things in your life, you're connecting with the eternal. Once you've met God, you're fulfilled when you're connecting others to eternal things. That's what we were designed to do. So lastly, real practically, how can we do this? Find a need and fill it, and find a hurt and heal it. All you have to do is look for needs around you. Look for those that are hurting. I remember a story. My mom, she used to tell it, and I remember it. We had just moved to a new city, and our family was broke. Just changed jobs, there's no money. In fact, there wasn't enough money to go buy groceries. And this lady in our church, she didn't know what was going on. We didn't share anything. She showed up at our house, knocked on our door with 4 bags of groceries. And we had food in the refrigerator now, and we had food to put in our pantry. And she didn't even want us to have to cook that night, so she brought pizza with her and drinks, and we had a party. And this lady, I don't even know if she knew she was doing it, but she was connecting with eternal things. It made a huge impact in my life. I recall this verse growing up. It's in Philippians. It says, "And God will meet all your needs according to the riches and glory in Christ Jesus." God will meet your needs. And that verse became more alive and drilled on the inside of me that day when this lady responded to God's prompting to just meet a need. She saw a need and she filled it, and she was doing eternal things that day. as we're closing, my challenge to you is to do this. Connect with what God is doing around the world. Wherever your feet stand is an opportunity to use that to influence others, to connect them to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we just come to you right now, Lord, and we pray that you would guide us here at Celebration Church. God, I pray that we would be people that would be game to go love on somebody, to meet a need, to find it and meet it, to find hurts and heal it, God. I pray that we would be your hands and feet in the world, that we would connect with your heart for lost things, that we would be distracted by them until we find them. So God, open up our world and make us conscious of what is going on around us. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to invite our ushers if they would go ahead and come as we prepare for our time of communion this morning, as our band comes back up on stage and begins to play. Very important part of our service this morning as we've opened up our hearts to God's Word, and the Holy Spirit has made that Word alive to you and to me as well this morning. An opportunity for us to respond to God's Word, even as we prepare for communion and as we partake of communion in just a moment. You know, there's two parts that we love to emphasize here at Celebration Church as we prepare for communion, which we do every Sunday. The first one is that it's an opportunity for us to just examine our lives. If you're a born-again believer, examining the saltiness. Has your saltiness lost its flavor? Maybe you've been hiding your light. Maybe that light has been hidden by sin in your life or some other areas in your life that are causing that light not to shine like it should. Great opportunity in just a moment to examine your heart and your life. Let the Holy Spirit touch areas in your life that need to be impacted by Him. For some here this morning, this may be an opportunity for you to begin your walk of faith. We want to give you that opportunity. In the book of Romans, it talks about the wages of our sin. The wages of our sin is death. But it goes further. It doesn't just stop right there. It says the gift of God, Jesus, His death, His resurrection, the thing we're about to celebrate with communion and an opportunity for someone to open up their heart to receive Him. That gift of God, Jesus, is eternal life. We want to give you that opportunity here this morning. If you're joining us online or right here in this congregation, maybe you here this morning and you realize that you need to reach out. Invite Christ into your life as your Lord and Savior. I'm going to invite you to just bow your heads with me. I'm going to lead us in a very simple prayer. Very simple prayer. And yet a powerful prayer. A profound prayer. A prayer that gives you the opportunity to confess your sin, repent of your sin, invite God into your life. Doing some eternal business here this morning for somebody that's joining us today. So would you just simply repeat these words after me? Would you say this? Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Thank you for paying the price for my sin. Thank you for the gift of grace. I now confess my sin. And I repent of my sin. And by faith, I ask you to come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. I now surrender my life to you. Amen.